Well, praise God. Welcome everybody to Thursday morning healing school at High Point Church. And boy, we love healing and the subject of healing at High Point Church because we believe God's heart is healing and it should be a big part of our heart as well. So we are so glad that you have taken the time to join us on your Thursday morning so that you can be blessed and ministered to by the Word of God because, hey, the Lord sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their afflictions. So this is a good investment for you today. It's a worthy investment for you today. This might be your breakthrough day to where you receive what God has in store for you. And we believe God's still in the miracle working business. He's still performing signs, wonders, and healing people even today because just as Jesus Christ is exalted to the right hand of God, He has given that authority to us here on the earth as His body, and we're now doing the same works He did. Hallelujah! It's an exciting time, and in the natural, it might not seem like one. We're surrounded by this pandemic and this virus, and now we've got racial tension and these different things. But I'm here to tell you today, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. We're in a great position in the kingdom of God to see God move and do mighty miracles on the earth today. And as we learned at our church on Sunday morning, it's up to us to be those candlesticks that get lit on fire, hallelujah, and the world will come watch us burn, hallelujah. So let's open our Bibles now to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm not 100% sure which direction I'm going to go this morning. I had a lot of different things going off on the inside of me, but I believe the Lord wants to minister some things to us to give us some clarity on this subject, to help us to understand how healing works. Because I've come to realize, and I've been in a lot of spirit-filled circles, charismatic circles, people who believe in divine healing. And I've come to find out that there is a lot of people that just don't understand how God operates today. And I think it's very clear in the Scriptures of how God does heal people today and how things work in the kingdom of God. So I believe we're going to be looking at some of these things today. I've heard people make statements before regarding, quote-unquote, believing God for their healing. And they'll say things to the effect of, well, I'm just waiting on God to heal me. I'm waiting on God's timing. When the Lord wills it, it'll come to pass in my life. And I know just real quick by people making that statement, they don't know how healing works. Because when we study the Scriptures, that is not how people received their healing in the four Gospels, which we've studied this thoroughly in our church. Is we've gone through all of the 25 individual cases of healing where people had been healed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John under the ministry of Jesus, and we came to find out something, that only in a couple of them did God sovereignly come in and heal somebody. In almost all the cases of healings that we have, somebody pressed through and received and took their healing. They didn't wait till the healing meeting time and when the altar call was present. They went and they got it right when Jesus was out doing just His normal business. And I believe that's how you and I receive today as well. So let's address this question today. How does healing work? Well, I would ask this question. How does salvation work? Amen. That's the thing we got to look at because we'll see this in Isaiah 53, but salvation, the salvation package, contains healing in it. Amen. Healing is a part of our complete salvation package. In other words, when Jesus came and hung on that cross, He did not just come to take care of the sin problem. Now, of course, that He did take care of that problem, and that was the first thing that was important, but He also took care of physical problems that we have, sickness and disease. In fact, if you look the word saved up, salvation, the word sozo or soteria that's used in the New Testament, you'll come to find out that sozo, soterion, these words did not just describe us getting our get out of hell free card. They didn't just describe what God did for us spiritually. The word sozo, for example, means to be made whole, to be healed. In fact, it was a term Jesus used oftentimes in His ministry when He would look at somebody that came and took their healing from Him. And He would say, your faith has made you whole. The word whole is the same word that's used for saved or salvation in the Scriptures. So we need to understand that healing is obviously what he was talking about there. So healing is a part of the package that we have. So let's look here in Isaiah 53. Before I get off track and never get back to this, let's go to Isaiah 53 and let's look at what we have contained here in what some people call the fifth gospel. I'm going to get into some more detail on this chapter on Sunday morning, so you need to tune in and watch that as well. We're going to talk about that in the mirror that we also find out that we are healed. So I'm going to cover some of these verses here on Healing School because it's appropriate. It goes in line with what we're talking about and the whole purpose of this Healing School. Isaiah 53 and verse 1, he says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Now that's an important question because he's about to talk to us about and describe to us how the Messiah did things when he went to the cross and how he was made our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, all of our sicknesses and diseases and healing was provided during that time. He asks this question, "Who has believed our report?" And this is the key, critical component to salvation, which includes healing. Believing. Do you have faith in these particular things? Because when he says, "Who has believed our report," the word "report" was a Hebrew word that was used to describe tidings or news. So it's obvious that it's talking about the gospel here. It's talking about the good news or the glad tidings. So he's asking this question, who has believed this good news or these glad tidings? And that's the question, because like it is with salvation, if I were to ask you, how does salvation work? It's very obvious to us. We know, and we are persuaded, any of us that have been church for any period of time, we know that salvation works like so. Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus went to the cross for us, became our sin, was buried, and on the third day was rose again. And when he was raised up, now through his resurrection life, we believe in his resurrection, and now we see righteousness, freedom from sin, forgiveness, all these terms we throw out, those things are realities in our life. But healing works the same way. And that's what's so powerful about it, is we've got to know that Jesus Christ came. Hallelujah. He was provided for us. But does that mean everybody's saved? No. Not every person is born again. Not every person is saved and will make heaven their eternal destination just because Jesus came 2,000 years ago and died for their sins. They must believe. They must have faith and receive His Lordship in their life. Hallelujah. And when they end up receiving that, then it becomes a reality in their life. So why would we think healing happens any differently? Healing happens the exact same way. Just because Jesus had those stripes laid on His back and took your sickness and took your disease doesn't mean it's going to automatically be appropriated in our life. God's not going to sovereignly come down one day and make it happen for you, barring a gift of the Holy Spirit, and that does work that way, but that's not the predominant way that we are healed. We are healed in our life the same way as we are saved. We hear the good news. We hear the glad tidings that the Lord wants us well, that Jesus provided healing for us, that the healer is in the house. And when we hear that good news, guess what happens? We believe it, hopefully. We receive it in our life, and then we end up getting healed in our life. But there's another interesting point in this verse that we need to understand. He goes on to say, "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" So revelation is also an important factor here. Yes, we choose to believe, but we have to have the truth revealed to us. And that's where it becomes absolutely key to us, is that we can hear something, we can mentally assent to some truth, we can say, oh yeah, we can quote all the scriptures, oh, by His stripes I was healed, He Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, Jesus is the great physician, and we can parrot those things, but not really believe them because we haven't really had our eyes opened to that truth and believed in our heart. Amen. See, you look over there in Romans chapter 10, and we like to use these verses for, go over to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We look at those verses as just being salvation verses. But again, salvation includes healing. But let's look at it. Let me go to it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is important, and I want you to see it, and you need to open it up in your own Bible. Excuse me, let's just start in verse 9. I'm sorry. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now again, you can use the word healed and put it in there for saved. So let's look at this from healing. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the healer, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So that is how salvation works. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. In other words, let's look at how this works with salvation. You hear the gospel, the glad tidings are presented to you, and then when you end up hearing this good news, hopefully, not everybody, but hopefully you believe in your heart, not with your head, you believe in your heart that salvation is for you. And then you confess with your mouth. And this is a part I think we miss in the church today, is there is an important factor that for you and I to confess before a crowd of witnesses that we are saved and we are making Jesus the Lord and Savior of our life. Amen. So what does that mean? That means that healing works the same way. We hear the gospel of healing. We hear that Jesus took our sicknesses and our diseases. He, by His stripes, we are healed, and we end up believing that in our heart. And now, because we believe it in our heart, we confess it with our mouth and say, Jesus is my healer. Jesus has provided healing for me. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen, amen. And then He goes on to say in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, listen to this, unto salvation. Do you see this? What He's saying right here is the way salvation happens in our life, it's not necessarily when we believe in our heart. He says with the heart one believes unto righteousness. In other words, that's how you're made righteous. But the way you obtain salvation is when you open your mouth and you confess that Jesus is Lord in your life. So do you think it happens any differently with healing in our life? No, I'm telling you, healing is voice activated. Amen. You believe in your heart, and then you speak out of your mouth that this is mine. This is my reality. Healing is mine. Jesus is my healer. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. This is how healing works. Amen. Because it's how salvation works. So go back over there to Isaiah 53, and let's look at this. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So revelation needs to come. And this is something that I'm encouraging our church with this coming Sunday morning on our online version, is that you've got to have the Father reveal these truths to you. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. You're not going to necessarily get it just because you hear me, Pastor Robert, Minton, proclaiming these healing scriptures to you. You've got to take these things into your prayer closet and have God the Father reveal them to you. And when it becomes a reality to you, hallelujah, then it'll become a reality in your life. Amen. So notice verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. This basically just describes how Jesus was brought up here on the earth. He came out of a seemingly obscure background, through Nazareth, through a small town of about 500-person population. He comes out of this place. He grows up spiritually. He learns who He is in His Father. Hallelujah. He grows in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And it says He has no form or comeliness. What that means is in the physical, He didn't necessarily play the part. People didn't necessarily, they couldn't tell He was the Messiah because he was probably a lot like David. David wasn't the one that everybody thought was going to be the next king of Israel. In fact, his dad kept him out there keeping the sheep because he wasn't mature enough. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't large enough. He wasn't the natural representation of what a king should be. Same thing happens here with Jesus. And when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. Now I'm telling you, this is one of the key ways that you and I receive healing in our life. How do we receive Jesus? Now, you know, the people of Israel did not receive Jesus. There was very few that actually believed on Him. And why? Because He didn't play the part on the outside. There wasn't the natural things happening. The expectations they had weren't being met. Because of that, they kind of rejected Him and just saw Him like a man. But what happens here? They did not esteem Him, but they rather despised Him. They didn't honor what they were hearing. And do you remember this happened in the life of Jesus? Jesus goes into His own hometown where people knew Him. He grew up before them. They knew He was the carpenter's son, or supposing Him to be Joseph's son. And He goes into His hometown, and Jesus, the most anointed person that ever lived on this earth, went in there, and the Bible says He could not do any mighty works there except healing a few minor ailments. Now, this is the guy that was healing them all. He was going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. But his own hometown did not receive everything that he had for him. And why? Because they despised him. They did not esteem him. They were overly familiar with him. They didn't see him like he truly was. And do you reckon that might happen in our lives today? Is that we don't receive everything God has for us because we're not esteeming those things or the vessels that they're coming through? I'm telling you, people come, if you get to know me very well, you'll come to find out I am very natural. I do. There's not a lot of beauty that you should desire any kind of anointing or grace that's on my life. And people that are overly familiar with me as a minister of the gospel, and this applies to anybody else, people that are overly familiar with that, they don't have their spiritual antennas up like they do when the special man of God or woman of God swoops in from out of town and comes and has a healing meeting. See, it's the carnality of people that do that. The truth is, and this is what's awesome, is you don't need a special anointed person. Hallelujah. We have somebody in our church that shared an awesome testimony with us. This person was dealing with some physical problems in their hip, and it was going up into their back. And this person I know is a believer. Hallelujah. They come up to the church last week, and me and Bruce, one of the deacons in our church, was present. And this person said, you know what? The word of the Lord came to me that I could have done all these different things to try to receive my healing, but the word that came to me was, go to the elders of the church, call on the elders of the church, and let them pray for him. So guess what? We lay hands on her in Bruce's office over there, and guess what ends up happening? There are no fireworks. I sense no anointing. I sense no power of God. There was no virtue that I felt come out of me. I don't think Bruce did either. And guess what ends up happening? We get a testimony later that that person didn't necessarily receive anything at that moment either. They still dealt with the same physical problem. But guess what they did? They did not esteem, they did not value their feelings more than what God's Word said to them. And you know what they did? They said, nope, Lord, You said when the elders lay hands on them, pray in faith and so forth, that they will be made whole. And they continued to stand, and guess what happens? The next day they wake up with zero symptoms of any of that pain, completely healed, completely whole. Glory to God. That did not happen because of any great anointed vessel. That happened because somebody chose to esteem and value what God's Word says rather than what they felt or any of these other natural carnal things. I say that to encourage you that you are the variable in that you can press through. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You can press through the crowd, touch the hem of His garment, take your healing whenever you want to, because that's how salvation works. Amen. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The Lord didn't say there's a special day that people get saved. Today, your today is today. It's whatever day you choose to make it. And if that's how salvation works, that's how healing works. Amen. You can make today your miracle day if you'll just decide to do what these people did in the Bible and actually believe the Word of God and not esteem the wrong things, esteem the right thing. Amen. Now, verse 4, notice this. It says, surely He, talking about Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. And what that's basically saying there in the latter half of that verse is, when people saw Jesus hanging on that cross, when Jesus hung there and He was being physically punished, it seemed like. There was a lot of physical ailments that were going on. And there was also the sin of the world was placed upon him. Sickness, poverty, and all these different things. We'll get into that in a moment. There was no beauty in that. There was absolutely, it was a difficult situation to even behold, so people would hide their face from him. But he says here, surely, when that happened, he has borne our griefs. He was carrying our sorrows. He wasn't being punished by God. He was taking our punishment for us so that you and I, all of our griefs and all of our sorrows will be placed upon him. Which actually those words are poor translation. When you look these words up, the words griefs and sorrows, you'll come to find out in the Hebrew, they more described physical sicknesses and physical pains that were going on in someone's life. Amen. These are not talking about the mental and emotional issues, which I believe Jesus provided for that as well. But these are more referring to our physical sicknesses and diseases. So what these scriptures are saying is that Jesus bore them for us. He carried them for us on the cross. That's when it was ultimately fulfilled. But again, people like to water this down and say, no, this is talking about your spiritual sicknesses, your spiritual pain, and all these different things. But that's not what Matthew chapter 8 says. Go over to Matthew 8 with me. And let's look at a verse in the Gospels, in the New Testament, where this same verse was quoted. Matthew chapter 8, and let's start in verse 16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And look at this. And he cast out the spirits with a word. You know what that illustrates to us right there? Demonic problems. The things the demons afflict us with and the biggest, hairiest, meanest devil in heaven are no problem to God. He cast out those spirits with a word. Just one word. Hallelujah. It just says, go. And they come out of them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's where the power is. Amen. It's like Satan. Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Amen. And he talked about how Satan had been cast out with the finger of God. See, the devil is no problem to God. He likes to blow himself up to be a bigger problem than he is, but he's really not all of that. The Bible actually teaches us that there's going to come a day when we're going to look at Lucifer, at Satan, and we're going to say, is this the guy that troubled the nations? Is this the guy that stirred up all of this stuff? And we're going to find out he's a zero with the rim knocked off. There's nothing to him, right? But the thing he's got is a mouth that's very effective at deceiving people. That's why the truth brings us out of our destructions. Hallelujah. So he cast out the spirits with a word and healed, look at this, all who were sick. Glory to God. How many of you know that statement right there is more than enough for you to receive your healing right now? And healed all who were sick. Why? Because if Jesus was going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, if he was healing every sick person that came to him, then he's no respecter of persons. The Bible's clear that what God does for one, he'll do for another. So guess what? If we would just become a part of this crowd that came to him, that pursued him, that left their normal things and started desiring him, when they come to him, if we become a part of that crowd, he will heal all of us too. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And notice this, after he says, and healed all who were sick, it says in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which is what we just read over there in Isaiah 53:4, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Glory be to God. And this does not mean that this was fulfilled 2,000 years ago and Jesus isn't healing anybody anymore. I know people say that, but that's not true. And the way I can prove that to you is because the people that say that, they say, oh yeah, Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled in our hearing based on this scripture right here. And the healing Jesus did, he did 2,000 years ago. But all those things passed away with the apostles. They're not for us anymore today. Well, if you believe that, then you also have to believe that he was not wounded for your transgressions today either. Or he was bruised for your iniquities. Because the same hour that is located in Isaiah 53:4 when it said He took our sicknesses and carried our pains is the same hour that's listed in the next verse when it said He was bruised for our iniquities and He was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. So if we're going to believe one, we got to believe the other. Hallelujah. So if He took my sins and my transgressions and my iniquities, He surely took my sicknesses and my pains as well. So let's go back over there and let's look at those verses. Isaiah 53. Glory to God. I'll tell you, this is encouraging to me. I've been double dipping today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what that means? I've taught this twice. Hallelujah. Because we're going to be teaching it again on Sunday morning. But this is great news. And you know what one of the benefits is of proclaiming the gospel of healing? You'll live in healing. Hallelujah. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the more I focus on it, the more I give attention to it, the more it works in my life. But that doesn't mean it won't work in your life. You just need to give just as much equal attention to it. You need to major on this subject. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me. If you're sick and you got a terminal case of something, I mean, I've had people that were sick and they were dying. They were given a death sentence over them. And they'll come to me at church and they'll want to talk to me about who the Antichrist is. And they'll say, what do you think about who's the Antichrist and when he's coming? And I want to say to them, brother, that's the least of your concerns. You don't need to worry about who the Antichrist is. You need to find out who the Christ is. And the Christ is your healer. And that's what's pertinent to your life. That's what's important. So if you desperately need healing, you need to shelf everything else and put everything you got into this subject of healing. Order every healing series you can get and feed your faith on this particular subject. So that faith will come and you'll be positioned to receive your healing. Glory to God. Now look at verse 5. After He had said, surely I've borne your sicknesses and carried your pains, He says in verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Again, the same package, the salvation package includes transgressions, includes iniquities, but it also includes sicknesses, includes pains. Our physical healing is a part of our salvation package. Glory to God. So the same way as we receive our forgiveness, like it was with, you remember the story of the paralytic. And there was this event in Jesus' life. And this is an important story. And there's a reason it's recorded in the Bible. This guy was paralyzed. He's on a bed. He's got four friends that are carrying him. And they're like, all right, the healer is here. So we're going to go find Jesus. And they go out of their way to go find Jesus. And guess what happens? They get to the house where Jesus was teaching. He was in the inside. And this is what's hilarious. Jesus is in this house teaching. And one of the gospel writers says this. The only people that were present in that house were the Pharisees and the scribes and all the religious leaders. They had taken up all the good seats in church that day. And isn't that just the way it works? Is the religious people take up the church seats and the people that are actually coming to get something might not be able to get in. But these guys show up and notice what happens. They show up on the front door. The house is filled up. All right? And again, Jesus was in the house. The healer was in the house. And the one gospel writer said this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It wasn't talking about the paralytic. It was talking about those Pharisees, those scribes, those religious leaders. God's heart is to heal everybody. But all those, we'd have to add to the Bible to say those religious guys were getting healed. They weren't. Jesus was up to here in unbelief. All those guys were doing is they would show up, Jesus is teaching, and they're sitting there writing, and Jesus will say something about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Bible says this in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And they're writing notes and they're like, nope. That's not Isaiah, that's Jeremiah. You know, all they're doing is trying to find fault with him. But guess what happens? Jesus is up to here in unbelief. And then those guys show up at the house, they couldn't get in the door, and you know what most Christians would have done there? They'd have said, oh, it must not be the Lord's will for you to be healed today, Bill. We're going to have to just go back home because the house is filled up. It's not God's plan for you to be healed today. That's the way most people believe. They would take that house being filled as a sign that it wasn't God's plan and purpose for them. But how many of you know that's not a sign? Because guess what they did? Thank God for good faith-filled friends. They said, Bill, His name wasn't Bill. I don't know what his name was. Abraham, maybe. I don't know. But they said, Abraham, we're going to find a way to get you in here, brother. So they carry him up to the roof. And they start tearing the roof off. Hallelujah. Tearing the roof apart to get their friend down into Jesus' healing meeting. Hallelujah. And I can just see Jesus was sitting there. And he's teaching to them. Again, up to here in unbelief. And all of a sudden, there's pieces of dirt and tile that start falling on his shoulder, and these guys are sitting in there and like, what's going on here? And they look up, and then they see this guy getting laid down into the house going, hey, Jesus, sorry to interrupt your meeting, but I came here to get some spiritual eating. Hallelujah. He pressed through, him and his friends, to receive what God had for them. And I guarantee you, Jesus looked at that and smiled because he loves faith. It pleases God when he sees faith. And he said, in the midst of all of this, he told this guy, son, your sins are forgiven you. Rise and take up your bed and walk. Which, of course, freaked out all the religious guys. The religious guys, who is this guy who says he can forgive sins? And Jesus said the powerful statement. He said, what's easier to say? Son, your sins are forgiven you? Or rise and take up your bed and walk. See, you know what the answer is to that question? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven. You know why? Because if it happens, you're not going to be able to tell if it happens. If it happens, we're not going to know what transpires on the inside of someone, but it's a whole lot more risky and harder to say, get up, take that bed and start walking right now. But what this is a powerful point of that. Is Jesus, in teaching this, is showing that the forgiveness of sins was to be made in the same statement of this guy's physical healing. And that's what's powerful. Just as Jesus was bruised and wounded for our transgressions and our iniquities, he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains at the same time. And again, this wasn't fulfilled 2,000 years ago so that it stopped. It's continuing through the church age today. So it's for you, it's for me. But it works just like salvation, hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, he was bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now I'll tell you, religion has tried to water this down and say, oh brother, this isn't talking about physical healing. This is talking about spiritual healing. You don't get healed spiritually. You get made new spiritually. You get raised from the dead spiritually. Amen. It's not a healing that transpired in our born-again, recreated spirit. It was a complete renovation. It was being made new and whole. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus provided for us. So when he says, by his stripes we are healed, we just saw from verse 4, sicknesses and pains are included in that. So glory to God, my physical healing came through those stripes that were laid on Jesus' back. But of course, Isaiah, in speaking this, was forecasting what the Messiah would do. He was prophesying about what would happen. So from the way he was seeing it, he was making a statement that by his stripes we are healed, because at that moment he was being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and all these things. All these things were happening during this time. But I love what Peter did. Peter, in quoting from Isaiah 53, had the privilege of hindsight because the cross had already happened. And Peter says, go over there, 1 Peter 2:24, Peter said, we were healed. Not are healed. Were healed. Why? Because we were forgiven. We were made righteous. We were all these different things, which are present day realities. So the same way as that happened, I was physically healed in my life. 1 Peter 2:24. Wow, let's look at this verse. This is an awesome verse and one so many people have hung their hat on and have walked into their healing as a result. 1 Peter 2:24. He says, who himself, he's talking about Jesus here, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's already been done. It's already been provided. Look at this verse, though. Who Himself bore our sins. I love how the Bible adds the word Himself there. Grammatically, it would have made just as much sense to say who bore our sins. But do you know why He says who Himself bore our sins? Because the Lord is constantly trying to clarify to us, we don't play a part in this. Christ and Christ alone paid it all. We don't have to pay a portion of it. He Himself took care of the sin problem, and He Himself took care of the sickness problem at the same time. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body. But notice this phrase, on the tree. On the tree. Why does He say this? Why do we see verses like this, and another one we'll look at here in a moment, Galatians 3:13. Why do they refer to the cross as a tree? It's interesting terminology to me because I might not have referred to it as a tree, even though the cross was made from the materials of a tree. Okay? And it's important to understand this. In fact, go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 right now. Because I want to show you where the Apostle Paul refers to the same point. Galatians 3:13. You're going to love this verse right here. We camped on this verse for weeks and weeks on end at our church, talking about how Christ has redeemed us. But I want you to notice what it says. Christ has redeemed us. Again, you're not included in there with Christ. Jesus did it Himself. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So what we see in this verse is we see Paul declaring to us why Jesus went to the cross. Have you ever thought about that? What was the significance of the cross? It was God doing things in a legal manner. You know, God didn't just from heaven arbitrarily decide He was going to save us and do things His own way. God did things the way He prescribed them through the law. All right? And He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, where it described, if there was a person who transgressed the law, they were a malefactor, this person did something and the law said they were to be put to death. Usually, the way they would kill somebody in that time for violating the law is they would stone them with rocks. And so after they did this, though, this is what we sometimes miss, is after they were killed, they would take their dead body and for a period of time would hang them on a tree somewhere to where they were an example to everybody else in Jerusalem, that they would look at them and say, that person was a transgressor, that person sinned against the law, and they are now accursed from God. That's what Deuteronomy told us was supposed to happen under the law. Now, I guarantee you the devil wasn't smart enough to be able to know why God even put that in the law. But there is a reason. That whole point. God wasn't trying to be mean to people and expose their sin and everything like that. He did things in a legal way because through His Word, He said, this is what needs to happen. This is what's going to transpire. And now, when Jesus was hung on the materials of a tree, now God had the legal right to accurse Him and put all of the curse of the law upon Him. Do you see that? Now that's awesome. He didn't do it because He was forsaking His Son. He did it for us because He was trying to reconcile us. That was what was so awesome. So Jesus hangs on the cross. He becomes all the curse of the law, as it says here in Galatians 3:13. Which, when you read this and it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, the first question you should ask is, well, if I'm redeemed from this thing called the curse of the law, what is the curse of the law? And I'll tell you, the curse of the law is perfectly described in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through the end of that chapter. Many different verses, the Lord shows what the curses would be for the person who violates God's law. And when you study out those things, when you find out what God said the curses of the law for, you don't read those to say, oh man, I better make sure I don't violate His law so that these things don't happen to me. No, you read them through this perspective. Christ has redeemed me from these things. So if I can find it in here, I'm redeemed from it. The price has been paid for me to be set free from it, glory be to God. So now I am free from whatever this curse of the law is. And the curse of the law was a horrible thing. The curse of the law contained some of the worst things. Mental oppression, depression, your children being taken away and enslaved into captivity, physical death, all of these various things that would happen. Poverty was definitely included in there. But you know what else was included in the curse of the law? Sickness and disease. Oh, I'll tell you, they listed some horrific sicknesses and diseases that were relevant to the time they lived in. I mean, there were things in there called the itch, the botch of Egypt, tumors, and all these different things that were going on during that time. And I'll tell you, they knew what those things were. And God was saying that those things came as a result of the curse, not a blessing. Like the church has erroneously tried to bring out to us is, oh, brother, your cancer is a blessing because it's what causes your eyes to be open to know God better and all of these different things. And people will even say something to the effect of, oh, God broke my back that I'd fall on my face and have to look up to Him. Well, I'll just tell you, if God were guilty of doing the things we accuse Him of in the church today, there is not one country on this planet that would not lock that father up and throw the keys away. God is not guilty. God is not the one that brings sickness and disease. He made it clear through the Bible, sickness and disease is a curse, but healing is a blessing. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, people out there that talk like that, God does all these different things to teach you something. If God were ever going to break somebody's back to cause them to look up and prevent some bad thing from happening to them in the future, He'd have done it with Adam. Because when Adam went to partake of that fruit, I'll tell you what, that brought worse things on this planet than anything else anybody else has ever done. So we need to understand that's what God would have stopped. But He's not going to stop it. Why? Because He's a God of free will. Which goes into line with everything we're learning today, is healing is going to be a fruit of our free will. Are we going to choose to partake of that? Are we going to press into that? Are we going to make that ours? Are we going to own that? God has said, behold, I have set before you life and death, blessing, healing, and cursing, sickness and disease. You choose life. He said, you choose the blessing, you choose the healing, you choose the life. You have got the keys. I love it. The Lord said to His disciples that, didn't He not? He said, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God said, the heavens are the Lord's. The earth He's given to the sons of men. So praise God forever. We are the ones that are in control here on the earth. We are the ones that choose life. We are the ones that choose to purposefully and deliberately enter into God's blessing, God's life, everything God has for us. But it's going to be our choice. It's going to be up to us whether we enter into that or not. And somebody out there might be saying, but how do I do this, Pastor? How do I enter into this? Well, I'll go back to 1 Peter 2:24 because this is how God operates. I'm going to tell you, God does not do things like we do, thank God forever. Amen. He does things His way, and He is not going to change so that He can accommodate the way we think it should be done. We've got to do things God's way. And I'm telling you, one thing you come to find out about God constantly in the Scriptures is God loves to do two things. Romans chapter 4 teaches us this. God does two things. He gives life to the dead. He quickens the dead. God loves taking something that's dead, that has no hope, that's without Him, that's the absence of life, and resurrecting it. He did it in His Son. He did it in each one of us that are born again. God loves to give life to dead things. And if He did this with a physical body, He can do it with your physical body. He can quicken a dead kidney. He can quicken dead blood vessels. He can quicken dead blood cells. Hallelujah. He can quicken brain cells. Some of you lost some of your brain cells in your period of time. God can quicken that. Hallelujah. And make you smart again. Make you smart, sharp, good looking, and a major blessing. Amen. So all I'm trying to tell you today is God gives life to dead things. But notice this. Calls those things that be not as though they were. That's the other thing God does for us. He loves to say what He wants to see instead of saying what we physically see. That's the way it works. So when you read a scripture like this, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. God's doing the same thing He did with the children of Israel. In the children of Israel, He would tell them when He was bringing them into the promised land. He said, He took them to Jericho. You remember that? The walls are up. All the people of Jericho are still inhabiting the city. There is nothing in the natural, in the physical, that said to them that this was their city. But God said, behold, I've already given you the city. Isn't that awesome? God told them He'd already given it to them, and they hadn't even possessed it yet. He told them that about the whole land of promise to begin with. He said, I have given you this land before they ever possessed it. Now that's powerful right there, because what that shows us is if these are eternal principles, and I believe that to be true, then God can say something is yours, but you might not have necessarily gone and possessed it yet. Saints, I'm here to tell you, it's time for us to go in there, kill those giants, and take the land that God has promised to us. It's time for us to believe the report God has given us. And one of the great reports is, by His stripes we were healed. And quit living in the wilderness, this land of indifference, of que sera, sera, whatever God wants to do in my life, it'll be allowed. And living from miracle to miracle, manna and quails and all these different things. God wants us to have grapes the size of our heads, hallelujah, and we constantly partake of them whenever we want, because we're living in an unending kingdom principle of seed time and harvest, and it's constantly producing in our life, and we're living from healing to healing, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and we are operating in the blessing of God and not depending on miracles. We got to slay some giants, though, to get in there and take that part of the land. And I'm going to tell you exactly how you do it. The same way God did it with Abram and Abraham. Hallelujah. Not two separate people, but two separate identities. Abram had the promise at 75 years old. Hey, I'm going to make your seed like the sand of the ground and of the stars of heaven. So shall your seed be, Abram. For 24 years, he had this promise. Some of you have had prophetic words spoken over you for decades. You got words a long time back. You've even read things in the Bible and all these different things. And God has given you words. He's spoken to you, but you're not seeing the fruit of them. You're not seeing the full manifestation of them. Well, you're in good company, because that's exactly what happened with Abram. But then there came a day in the life of Abram. And this is powerful. What happened? Actually, let's go over there. Let's go to Genesis. Let me find it real quick. Genesis, this is so powerful. And this right here will absolutely change your life. Glory to God. Genesis. And let's look at chapter 17. This is after 24 years of having the promise, 24 years of having the scriptures, 24 years of having prophetic words spoken over you. 24 years later, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Now let's not miss this, because I think this is a significant part to us walking in the blessing, for us receiving the promises of what God has said. The first thing God says is, I am Almighty God. Do you know what that is in the Hebrew? That is God's first reference to Himself as El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Now, it means Almighty God, but in the Hebrew culture, they knew exactly what this meant, because El Shaddai literally meant in the Hebrew, the all-breasty one. Now, why was that significant? Because back then, you got to understand, they didn't have formula. Back then, the woman's ability to produce milk was going to be vital to the survival of that baby. So God says, I'm like the mama that's got more than enough milk. I'm the all-breasty one. In other words, I've got more than enough supply for you. All right? God reveals Himself to him this way. He appeared to Abraham. So notice that. He appeared to Abram and said to him, this is who I am. I am El Shaddai. He didn't say I'm El Cheapo. He said I'm El Shaddai. I'm more than enough. I got more than enough supply for you. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make a covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. All right? So God gives him a promise to say, this is who I am. And I guarantee you, this had never appeared to Abram before. He didn't necessarily know this God who had called him out of Ur, and he had started pursuing God and following what God told him to do. But God comes here and says, I'm going to give you a revelation of myself. I'm going to appear to you, and I'm going to show you I am more than enough. I am your all-sufficient one. I'm your almighty one. I've got more than enough supply for your life. You know why that's important? Because that is a key and critical part in our life for us to receive from God. You've got to see God as being more than enough healing for you. God as being more than enough finances for you. You've got to see God as being more than willing as a good and heavenly Father to give any good and perfect gift to you, which includes healing. So He reveals Himself to him that way, but then notice what happens. After He reveals Himself to him this way, verse 5 says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Why? For I have made you a father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I've already done it. So again, in the mind of God, God was calling things that be not as though they were. But do you know what was significant here and powerful about it? Is in order for Abraham to embrace this and walk in the light of what God said is already his, he had to have an identity change. He had to change from knowing himself as just Abram, as identifying with the fact that I can't have children, Sarah's barren, all these negative things, I used to be a pagan worshiper, and all the things he used to be, and he changed his identity and his name to say, now I am Abraham, the father of many nations. And so Abraham would go about and say, hey guys, I'm calling a meeting here in Abraham's camp. No longer are you going to call me Abram. Now I am Abraham. And back then, they knew what their names meant. So back then, he knew when every time he said Abraham, he knew he was saying, I'm a father of many nations. Hello, nice to meet you. I'm father of many nations. Hey guys, there's father of many nations over there. Constantly he's been reminded of the fact that he is the father of many nations before he ever had any manifestation of it in his life. And when those words were spoken out, we're getting back going full circle to what we started talking about, aren't we? Is that, yeah, believing in your heart that God is El Shaddai and He's more than enough and all these promises are yours, that's good for righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You got to change what you're calling yourself and start saying, I am the healed of the Lord. And when you go introduce yourself to people, and I'm being funny about this, but it wouldn't be necessarily a bad idea instead of going and appearing to people and saying, hey, I'm Robert, hey, I'm Julie, you go and say, hey, I'm healed. Nice to meet you. Glory to God. That, when you start believing that and you start letting it come out of your mouth, there's power. And then, guess what happens? At 100 years of age, Abraham had Isaac. Sarah gave birth. So what that shows me is just in 3 months, because it takes a woman 9 months to carry a child, of course, in 3 months period of time, after God revealed Himself as being more than enough, and him changing his identity and what he called himself, then there was the birth of Isaac. And your Isaac today might be healing. It might be freedom from sickness and disease. And I'm telling you, this is how you will give birth to your Isaac in your life. You got to do what Abraham did. You got to follow the footsteps of the man of faith, the father of faith. Glory to God. Well, I hope that blessed you today, because it sure did me. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, this is exactly how it works. Healing works by you believing in your heart, but also confessing with your mouth. And when we believe that, hey, God, by your stripes I am healed. If I was healed 2,000 years ago, I am healed today. That is who I am. See, it's like you're telling somebody what your name is. I am healed. This is your new identity. I see myself as the healed of the Lord. I am made healed, whole, and strong. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you were blessed by this today. And we just encourage you that if you've been watching us at this healing school, give us a thumbs up. Make sure you like, love, and support us through the various things on Facebook of commenting, letting us know what you were ministered to. And again, we want to know if you received your healing today. We believe people out there receive the healing just by the preaching of the Word. I've had people healed without having hands laid on them just by listening to the Word. And I believe that is open and available to people out there today. But I am going to pray for you because I believe we can see God do some miracles in this place because He said He would confirm His Word with signs following. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing over all these people. Lord, I know there's people out there that are physically hurting, that they are dealing with physical sickness and disease, and maybe they've been like Abram to where they have been dealing with this for decades. They've been seeing no fruit that would encourage them in this life. Lord, I ask you to invigorate hope on the inside of them and show them that, Lord, today is their day of salvation. That today they can be healed and whole and they can be made well in you. Lord, I thank you for revealing yourself to people out there as El Shaddai. More than enough healing is provided for them. So, Lord, invigorate them and revitalize their hope. But Lord, I pray right now for every person out there that has heard this, that has now made a decision that they are no longer going to be Abram, but they are going to be Abraham. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak over those people and I come into agreement that by the stripes of Jesus, they were and are healed. They are the healed of the Lord, that you have made them this way. You have given them the promised land. And I thank you, Lord, for the strength for them to overcome every giant of unbelief, of fear, of doubt that would try to keep them out of possessing the land that you have for them. Lord, help them to press through those things that they may choose life, choose blessing, choose your healing and wholeness. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Make sure you share this as well. There might be some people out there that will watch the video because you shared it and will receive their healing as a result. But God bless you guys. Thank you for tuning in to this healing school. And I'll be back with you next Thursday as we're going to teach that just like we've been healed, we are anointed. Amen. You won't want to miss that. It's going to be a blessing. But God bless you today. We hope you enjoy the rest of your week. We hope to see many of you High Pointers out there in person on Sunday and the rest of you online. God bless you.